God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Taking a look at our gospel reading this morning, we know that these chief priests, these elders, these scribes, these Pharisees, all of them, they were all about gathering honor for themselves, making themselves look good. That was job number one to them. That was one of the reasons they hated Jesus. Jesus pointed out their hypocrisy. Even though they made a big deal out of the law of Moses, Jesus consistently pointed out their failure to properly understand and keep the law of Moses. This account that we hear today in the gospel reading, this reading is from Monday of Holy Week, the day right after our Lord rode on the back of a donkey into the city of Jerusalem, greeted as a king, and then Jesus proceeded to cleanse the temple yet a second time. It's important to gather the whole context of what's taking place here to gain a right understanding, taking into account the gospel from last week and even beyond. If you back up like 10 verses or so from the beginning of today's gospel, you'll read these words from Matthew chapter 21. Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?" And leaving them, he went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. So when Jesus returned to the temple the next day, the chief priests, the elders, and all these big guys, well, they were waiting for Jesus. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Now, we got to be careful what we say about these men at this point in the reading. After all, they are the chief priests, the elders, the men who were responsible for the day-to-day activity in the temple. It was their calling to make sure everything was done decently and in good order. They were responsible for making sure that the activity in and around the temple conformed to the law of Moses. We cannot fault them for wanting to make sure that Jesus had the proper authority to do what he was doing. So up to this point in the gospel, these men were just doing their job. Jesus actually honored their interrogation with a question of his own. And this was not only an accepted tradition of that culture, but the question contained within it the answer to their inquiry. Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things." He asked them this question. He said, "The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" This question told the high priests and elders that his authority and John's authority came from God the Father in heaven. It's at this point in today's gospel that we get some insight into the true nature of these chief priests and elders then. They were more concerned about their own image than they were about the truth. They weren't in any way, shape, or form interested in the right answer to Jesus' question. They didn't really care. Instead, they were more concerned about their standing before the people. They discussed it among themselves, saying, if we were to say from heaven, he'll just say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Instead of following the law of Moses and honoring the truth, these high authorities of the church, they honored their own agenda. Their God is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but their own agenda was their God. So Jesus responded to their hypocrisy with the parable about the two sons. The story of the first son reflected the life of a Christian, and the story of the second son reflects the life of the hypocrite. So each one of us comes into this world in rebellion against God. We do. Our answer to the Lord's invitation to salvation is no. Then God brings his law and gospel to bear. He makes us aware of our sin and our desperate need for a Savior. Then he reveals our Savior to us in the person and the work of Christ Jesus. Eventually, the Holy Spirit works faith in us, and we receive God's yes in Christ. This is the process of conversion for a Christian. The hypocrite rejects God's law and gospel. He learns to put on a show for those around him. He appears to say yes, but this is an empty promise that he will not keep. Jesus made the point with these words. He said, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in a way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. The tax collectors and the prostitutes believed that they were sinners. That message of condemnation came out loud and clear. Tax collectors and prostitutes knew that they deserved both temporal and eternal punishment. When John preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins, they knew that this forgiveness was, this is their only hope. They repented. Yeah, they repented, and thus they received the kingdom of heaven. Temple authorities refused to believe that. They believed they deserved only punishment. Therefore, John's message had no meaning for them. Now, when Jesus told that parable in today's gospel, his primary audience was the temple authorities who had challenged him. But he speaks to me and you as well this morning. The war that began in us on the day that the Holy Spirit planted faith in our hearts continues. And a day doesn't go by when we don't play the part of one of those tenants. At times we scream, no! We scream it right into God's face as he, right up until he draws us near to himself through the words of the gospel. And he gives us the ability to say yes. Other times, we say yes with our lips. but that our hearts are still far from God. Our rebellion is the product of the sinful nature that our parents give us at conception. This sinful nature battles against the holy nature of God, which He gave us when the Holy Spirit worked faith in our hearts. These two natures will battle within us until the day we die. Fortunately, there's a third son, and he's not in any of these parables that we read. Instead, he's the one who told the first parable. Martin Luther described this son very well in the sixth stanza of one of our hymns, number 556, Dear Christians, one and all rejoice. The hymn, the stanza goes like this: The son obeyed his father's will, was born of virgin mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. His royal power disguised he bore, a servant's form like mine he wore to lead the devil captive. This son said, yes, sir, to his father, and then obeyed him obediently. His father said, you need to be human. The son said, yes, sir, and was born of the Virgin Mary. The father said, you need to humiliate yourself under the law. The son said, yes, sir, and lived a life free, perfectly from sin. The father said, you need to exchange your perfection for the sin of the world. The son said, yes, sir. And he became the greatest sinner, not with his sin, but with yours and mine, and the sin of the entire world. The father said, now, carry that sin to the cross. The son said in Matthew chapter 26, my father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The father said, now, take that sin to the grave. The son said, yes, sir. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. The father said, now proclaim your victory to the whole world. The son, Jesus, rose from the dead, and he said to his disciples, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You and I, we're often like those tenants in the parable that we read. Sometimes we fight God's will until his love brings us into the kingdom of heaven. Other times we say yes very quickly with absolutely no intention of keeping our promise. Jesus is not like these sons or these men that were the tenants. He agreed immediately and he obeyed perfectly. He has done all things well, and in him we have forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. Our sin is gone because of the Lord's doing. Jesus Christ, God's Son, in perfect obedience to his Father, has taken away all of our sin. We know this because God has given us his promise to do this. And God never breaks a promise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.